Good evening, everyone. Welcome out to Murfreesboro Church this Monday night. So great to see everybody. Welcome our visitors, our members. We had a great, great service here this morning. Let's keep that momentum going tonight. Won't you grab a redback hymnal? Turn to page 306. 306. Good singing this evening. Good singing. I'm going to get some help on this next song. Turn over to 138. Mr. Rowan, won't you come up here and help me on this one, brother? Everybody sing out loud.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Rowan. Brother Hackett.
Brother Rowan, good job on that song. It is good to see everybody here tonight. I thought our crowd was going to be down just a little bit, but then everybody come in at the last minute, and that's good. That's why they call us Baptists. We come in at the last minute. So it is good to see each and everyone here tonight. I hope you've been blessed today. If you didn't hear, in our day service today, we got blessed. We did. We got blessed. When God dips his pen, and God dips his pen down into that heart, and Caden was one that got that today, and I'm thankful for that. And then he turned around and joined the church, and before that, we'd already been blessed by Clay. And if you don't know exactly who Clay is, that's Sister Cheryl's grandson, the one that she looks up to. Of course, I do too. Everybody else does. But he told her Sunday that he'd gotten saved 2 years ago. And this morning as we were walking in, he was walking along with me, and he said, "Brother Hackett, I want to join church." I said, "All right." And I said, "When'd you get saved?" And he told me about it. And of course, when we got into the service, I gave an opportunity to the members. Here he comes up here. Unfortunately, that was the only one to come up. I thought maybe we might have a few more. And I want to say, if there's anybody that feels like you need to join the Lord's church, the last two that have joined have said, "I want to join the church." Sometimes the Lord expects you to get a good blessing out of just wanting to be a servant for the Lord. And I do believe Clay got a good blessing. Caden got a good blessing out of it. And I got a good blessing out of it. Patrick got a good blessing Sunday. So we've been blessed greatly in the services list the last few days. But we're looking for more. I spoke about it last night, how the children of Israel went out and got manna. Well, that's done. That food's done. Let's go look for some more. And that means let's serve the Lord a little bit more tonight. Let's pray that we'll pray a little harder. Let's pray that the rest of these that are lost, let's pray they all get saved. Now, we had one more seeking today that we know of. There might have been others. You know as well as I do, you can be praying and seeking the Lord, not let anybody know it. So I hope there was others that were seeking also. And I pray tonight will be the night that they get saved, or they can tell us about it. I hope they can tell us about it before this service is over with. So let's be about the Lord's business. Let's come looking for the blessings of the Lord tonight in this service. For more blessings, more people being saved. That's what we want to see. And so let's be prayerful about that. It may be that we get to see the blessing of people wanting to join the church. Let's just follow the Lord and let these that are lost, let them see the joy of serving the Lord. That's what we want to do. We want to let them see the joy of serving the Lord. It's good to be in the house. We're glad to have our visitors with us tonight. Appreciate everybody being here. Does anybody have a prayer request on your heart before we go any further in the service? Testimony or anything? It's good to be here tonight. As I said earlier, let's remember our lost ones, the ones that needs to get saved. I looked around and I counted several different ones that are on my prayer list. And let's pray for them is what I want you to do. And you've got people on your prayer list. You pray for them also. Anybody got anything on your heart? Yes. Yes. Yeah. We understand that they had a good spiritual service today, but still remember that family today as they lost that little girl, and just pray that they'll be comforted to the best of their ability. That's something you don't really get over with. My mother and daddy lost their my older brother when he was 17 years old and I was 9, and truthfully, mother never got over it, neither did daddy. And that's my understanding about you. You never really get over it, but you learn to deal with it. So be prayerful for them tonight. Somebody else. Lord bless. Lord bless. Bless your heart. Yeah. Yeah. Bless you, Sister Bell. Appreciate that. Let's do remember these kids. I hope and pray they haven't been deceived in any way. I hope they haven't deceived themselves. I'll say that too. That happens. But we want to make sure these that are here tonight, that they know without a doubt that they're saved. We want them to know, and as I say it a lot of times, that they know that they know that they're saved. And that's what we want for them. So let's keep that in our minds. Let's pray for these others that Sister Bell's talking about. All of you got friends outside of this church. And many of them, you could lead here to this church and you could show them what it is to really be saved. And they could hear the truth and come to the Lord being saved. So that's what we want you to do. Bring them here. Bring them here. Just let the Lord take care of the rest of it. That's what we're about. Somebody else got a word on your heart. Bless your heart. John enjoyed that testimony. Enjoyed that very much. It's always good to hear when people tell about that change that comes about. Appreciate this. Somebody else? Somebody else? I want us to continue following the Lord. We've seen that a lot this week. And it's important for us to just follow the Lord. And just whenever He impresses, like He did for Brother John, to tell her testimony, maybe it's to go and speak to somebody, extend an invitation like He talked about the young lady, just saying, I'll go. I've done similar, haven't you? I tell you what, you get a blessing out of it when they get saved. You do. Somebody else got a word on your heart. Lord bless. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Bless your heart, sister. Yeah, bless you, Sister Kelly. So many times we are afraid to say things. And that's one of the things that I want to especially tell our young ones that are, well, like Caden just got saved. Anytime the Spirit moves for you to tell about being saved, tell somebody. Not only him, that's for the oldest ones here too. Tell somebody. Because there is a reason behind what you need to say. Somebody else got a word on your heart. Y'all ready to pray? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, help. Lord bless. Let's do remember Vanessa in our prayers. As you said, she's starting her second round of chemo. I talked to Brother Stewart earlier, and we just talked about the service today. It's what I talked to him about, and I didn't even think to ask about Vanessa. I should have been better. Appreciate you telling us that. We do need to remember Vanessa. Remember Brother Stewart and Sister Pauline. When I was telling him about the service, I could tell, boy, he wanted to be here. And so I'm sure that Pauline's the same way. They'd love to be in these services tonight and today. So let's remember them in our prayers. Somebody else got a prayer request or another testimony? Okay. Lord help. Lord help. Let's remember this family and the loss of a father. Somebody else? Anybody else? Yeah, it was. Yes. Let's remember Josh, Heather's husband. Somebody else? I asked about Chad. He's in Pennsylvania on the road, so let's remember him. Lord, keep him safe. But I had a good friend. He's done gone on to be with the Lord. He was in a truck driving up in Ohio. And he ended up pulling off the side of the road and got down in the floorboard of the truck and got saved. Wouldn't that have been good for us to get that news? I know you'd love to get that phone call. So let's do remember Chad in our prayers too. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful one for another. Let's be about the Lord's business. Make sure you pray for Brother Luke tonight. Pray that the Lord will lead him as he stands tonight. He's been blessed the first couple of sermons he's brought. So let's pray that it'll continue to bless. Good to have our preacher brethren with us again tonight. I want to call on Brother Frankie Kirby, if he will, to lead us in prayer.
Everybody pray.
Appreciate that good prayer, brother. Let's try 150. 150. We'll do one more congregational song. Turn over to page 321. Prepare to meet thy God.
Thank you.
Beautiful singing. Miss Kelly is going to come sing us a special.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. The day when my faith shall be sighed, the clouds be rolled back like a scroll, the trumpet shall sound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so,
good evening. It's good to be back in the Lord's house once again tonight. I appreciate the wonderful singing and the spirit in which the singing has been done. And I just appreciate so much the day that the Lord has blessed us with today. And the young man that got saved, we're so thankful for that. And the both of them joining the church, Clay and Caden both, and we're continuing to pray for others that we're seeking, and just expecting more good things to happen tonight. And I want to encourage you tonight to continue following the Lord. I have thoroughly enjoyed each one of these testimonies and each song and everything that's been said and done in the service. Anything else on your heart tonight before we go into the message? Anything at all on your heart? Feel free tonight. This is the Lord's service. Well, this morning I got up and we sang a song with the children, This Little Light of Mine, and they helped me sing that. And for some reason tonight, the Lord had put another song on my heart that goes along with the message that God has placed on our heart tonight. And so I would ask for your prayers. I don't claim to be a singer, but you just listen to the words as we try to sing this to honor the Lord and to try to go along with the message tonight. And so you pray for me tonight. Somebody somewhere was praying that night when Jesus came in and I saw the light. Well, it must have been Mama. I'd heard her before. As she knelt by her bedside, her tears touched the floor. Thank you, Mama, for praying for me. If you had not prayed, then where would I be? They call you old-fashioned, but you love the Lord. And your prayers touch the Master as your tears touch the floor. She held to the altar and wouldn't give in till she knew all her children had been born again. Just an old-fashioned mama But she loved the Lord, and her prayers touched the Master as her tears touched the floor. Thank you, Mama, for praying for me. If you had not prayed, then where would I be? They call you old-fashioned, but you love the Lord, and your prayers touch the Master as your tears touch the floor. And thank you, Mama, for praying for me. And tonight, that's the message that God has placed on my heart, is thank you, Mama, for praying for me. Now, you might say, well, that seems a little odd, but I can back that up according to the scriptures tonight. And so you just follow along with us as the Lord would lead us. I hope that I can get through this message because I was really blessed as the Lord was laying it on my heart and just giving me these thoughts. And so you pray for me tonight that God would. I am thankful for my earthly mama. I am. That song's true for my own life, that there was many times that I could walk by her bedroom and see her crying and praying for her children and for her family, and I am grateful for that. But tonight I want to talk to you about a different mama, if I can, with the help of the Lord. 1 Samuel, the first chapter, in the 9th verse, is where we're going to take our reading lesson from. 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in the 9th verse. Says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she'd been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And skipping on down to the 24th verse, it says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and she brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young, and they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, and he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. That was reading 1 Samuel. I'm skipping around in the first chapter and reading the first verse of the second chapter. But again, the thought that's on our heart tonight is thank you, Mama, for praying for me. Now you say, well, what's that got to do with Hannah praying? You see, Hannah, she knew how to get in touch with the Lord. And she was praying to God that God would send her a child. And that's exactly what God did. And she was of a sorrowful spirit. And she begged God and she pleaded with God. And she prayed that God would hear and answer her prayers. Now the mama that I'm talking to you about tonight is the church is who that is tonight. And that church needs to be just like Hannah was. How she was willing to weep and to pray that God would bring forth a child for her, and God heard and answered her prayers. And as we look and see this young man that came up off of the altar today and God saved his soul, what an awesome blessing that was. But you know what took place before that? The mama, the church, she prayed for him, and she's continuing to pray for these others that need to be born into the family of God. And don't you that are mothers and that are fathers and that have children, don't you pray for your children. I remember as we were praying how to be able to have children of our own, not so sure if we would, because we struggled to have children, and we continued to pray. And when God allowed us to come up pregnant, I felt a lot like Hannah did. My soul just magnified the Lord. And when I held those two babies in my hands for the first time, as I was double blessed from God with twins, I said, thank you, Lord. Children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. What a blessing that they were, as arrows in the hands of a mighty man. So are children unto you. Oh, they are such a blessing to us, Lord, when they are born into our family. But I tell you, that's a great blessing to have children, but a greater blessing is when the mama of the church prays and children are born into the family of God. What a blessing that is. When we pray and we labor and we toil. You see, when a mother, when she's going to have a child, there's travail. There's labor pains. We had a scheduled C-section for our children. They were both breech, and Christy wanted to have them naturally. We would love for her to have been able to do that, but it just wasn't in God's plan. But it came to the night before that we were going to have the girls, and she woke me up in the middle of the night and said, I think my water broke. I stood up from a dead sleep just like that. I stood up right beside the bed, and my eyes were this big. I was completely asleep, but I woke right up, and I said, what? And she went and said, well, maybe, I'm not sure. She went and asked her mama, how's it feel? I don't know, it's just something different. But we stood up there and, you know, we just went ahead about our lives. I went around and walked the dog, and she got in the shower and got ready. We just thought we'll just take our time. And we decided we better not take our time anymore because she started having contractions. There started to be some pains that were there. There started to be some trouble. And by the time we got into the vehicle to get to the hospital, she looked over at me and said, can't you drive any faster? Can we get there? Because we're going through some pains that are here. It's not the time to do the speed limit. It's time to get to the hospital. And we finally got there. She was sick. She was bearing pains. There was trouble that was there. And I'm glad that she was able to experience some of that. When we were about to have those children, all over inside of her belly. They couldn't put their heartbeat there. I was scared to death. There was trouble that was there. We were depending on the Lord that we'd have children. We'd prayed for so long to have children, and we were concerned that something might be wrong. But God took care of it, and God blessed us with beautiful children. But there was trouble before those children came. And that's the way it is. Church, it's hard. People are lost, and it hurts. It hurts our soul. It makes us burn for them, and it breaks our heart for them. But I tell you what we need to do. We need to trust in God. He's the one that brings people to be born. He's the one that does that. You see, He's the one that gives natural life And he's the one that gives spiritual life. He's the one that does it all. He does all of that. But we need to pray. We need to labor. We need to bear those labor pains and ask God to help us. She called him Samuel. Do you know why she called him Samuel? She said, because I've asked him of the Lord. But the word Samuel, if you look up the translation, it means heard of God. Isn't that good? That's why we named our daughters Hannah and Hope, because Hannah struggled with fertility, and God gave us hope. Hope Elizabeth. Elizabeth struggled with fertility, and God answered our prayers, and we're thankful that He did. That's why we named them that, to give God the honor and glory, because we prayed, and God heard our prayers, and He answered our prayers. Did you know that God still hears and answers prayers for His church, that people would be born again? He still answers our prayers, and He will answer our prayers. Maybe you've been praying for someone for so long that they would be born again, that they would have an experience of salvation, that they would know without a shadow of a doubt. Think about Hannah. Hannah had prayed. She had her husband, he had two wives, and I'm not saying that that's right. That's just the way that it was in the Old Testament. And the other wife was there, she had a lot of children. And it just broke Hannah's heart that she couldn't have children. But finally she got to the point where she had to turn it over to the Lord. And if we want these souls to be saved, we need to turn them over to the Lord, because God's the only one that can save them. But when we do that, and we trust in God, and we believe in God, she said, Lord, I trust, I believe that if You'll just give me a little child, if You'll just give me a son, I'll give him back to You. Isn't that what we do when we have our natural children? It's still what we need to do when we have our spiritual children in the church of the living God. When we surrender them over to the Lord, He'll save them, and then He'll take them from there. But we need to continue to love on them. We need to still be a mama to them. We still need to take care of them the best we can, and teach them and nurture them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But we have to turn them over to God. That's what Hannah did. She turned it over to the Lord. Church, when we pray, great things happen. When mamas pray for their children, they pray that they would think good things would happen, don't they? The church, she needs to continue praying. I believe you've been praying, and that's why a lot of good things have been happening here, because people have been praying, trusting in the Lord. But I don't believe the Lord's done yet. I think He's just getting started. I think He's just getting started to do some wonderful things that are here. And if we will follow the Lord and listen to Him and do what He would have us to do, there will be births that will come forth. Even God can shake this place. His Spirit can come down in such a powerful and mighty way. When the church came together and prayed in Acts, in the fourth chapter, it says in the 31st verse, and when they had prayed, when mama prayed, it just seemed like she could get through to the Lord, and that she was begging God that her children would get saved. And one by one, we all four of us got saved. And I know it wasn't just her prayer. My father prayed too. But I thank God that I had parents that loved me and that loved the Lord and that wanted their children to be saved. But even more than that, I'm thankful for the church, that mama that prayed for me, that told me about the truth, that let me know what I needed to do, and I got saved. She still needs to keep doing that. When the church prayed, it says the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I want to thank you for praying for me, because I can't preach without the help of the Lord. I need His help. But when you pray for me, when the church prays for the man of God, it'll work, and we'll have boldness to present the gospel of Christ. Apostle Paul said, pray for us. Pray for us that we'll have boldness to be able to stand and proclaim the gospel. It says here, And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which they possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You know what that means? When the God's grace, his unmerited favor, falls among God's people, it'll fall upon our lost people. And the way they're going to get saved is by God's amazing grace. That's how people get born again. It's not anything you do of yourself. It's wholly through the grace of God that you get saved. And that's what will happen when we as the church will pray, oh, that God's grace would fall on us. What an awesome privilege that is. Oh, I remember when the grace of God fell on me because I got saved. And that's what will happen to these lost sinners when they experience the grace of God. They can get born again, born from above. You know, even God's children get bound up sometimes, whether it be because they're not following the Lord, or whether it be the things of this world, or whatever it is. Some people just get bound up. Folks, we don't need to be bound up. This is God's service, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom, and you can have freedom to serve the Lord. But you know what the church needs to do in order for there to be liberty? I love being in a service where it's an environment where sinners can pray through and get saved, and where God's people can feel free to testify and to sing and to follow the Lord. I've been so encouraged by you minding and following the Lord, and that's what you need to keep doing. But what we have to do in order to have that is we must pray. We must pray diligently. Peter, he got bound up. Physically, he got bound up. In the 12th chapter of Acts, about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in the prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. What Herod was planning on doing was killing Peter, is what he had plans to do in front of the people. But listen what happened. He said, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. Oh, that we that are the church of the living God, that our people that are bound by sin, and that men of God that are bound by the things of this world that are hindering them from being able to be used of the Lord, and people that are struggling and being bound through drugs and alcohol and so many other things in this world, that we would pray for them. Jesus came to deliver those types of people. He said, I come to preach deliverance to the captives. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You got a lost sinner on your heart, pray for him without ceasing. Keep on praying until they get saved. You got somebody on your heart that you want to be healed, pray for them. And if it be God's will to heal them, pray. God's will be done. But if it's his will, he'll heal them. We just need to keep praying to God and trusting in the Lord that he'll hear and answer prayers. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains. The keepers before the door kept the prison, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which openeth it to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through on one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, Peter thought it was all a dream. Sometimes we get so much in the Spirit and God is moving amongst us and it might even feel like a dream because God is just taking over. I tell you, that's the kind of services that we need, that the Lord just takes over. He takes over. And the way we're going to have that is we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray and trust in the Lord. He says, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. You say, this was a man of God that God had delivered. Absolutely, it was. This was a saved man. He was a preacher. But I want you to know, it's the same exact way for these lost sinners. The devil's after them, and he might be one to take them to hell tonight. And it's up to God's people to pray without ceasing for them that they might be delivered from the snare of the devil, because he's on their heels and he wants nothing more than to take them to the depths of hell with him. But you know what? When we pray, he don't have no power. You see, he's limited by the power that God allows him to have. God is greater. And we need to trust in God to help us and pray that God would recover them out of his snare, that he wouldn't get them, that he could deliver them. Peter came there, says here, when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it's his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning to them with the hand and told, said to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went unto another place. I want you to know that God, he does things when we least expect it, and a lot of times it'll knock us off our feet. I tell you, God is working when we don't even know it. I like that song that's called Waymaker, that says he's working when we don't even realize it. He's working in our midst. I've witnessed it. I've witnessed it recently as I've been praying and trying to work at my home church, and I've been begging God to help us and encourage us, and before you know it, we've had two different young men stand up and tell us that they've been saved by God's marvelous grace and to unite with the Lord's church that we've been praying for, and some that I didn't even expect. I tell you, you don't even expect it. Another one joined the church the Sunday before last. I didn't expect it. But I tell you, God, he works when we don't even know it. And he's working. We just need to keep praying. And he'll answer our prayers when he's good and ready. And he'll take care of it. And he'll do miraculous things, like bringing somebody out of a prison that there's no possible way he'll get out. You may think that your prayers are just unanswerable. It's impossible that God could deliver the person that you're praying for or somebody you've got on your heart. It's impossible. With man, it is. But with God, all things are possible. If we'll trust in him and believe in him. Maybe you're here tonight and you're lost and separated from God. And you say, it's just impossible for me to be saved. On your own, it is impossible. But with you, trust in the Lord and you'll come to him and you'll seek him out, believing that he will save you. Coming to him just as you are, I promise you, if you want to be saved, he will not turn you away. If you'll come in the right manner with a broken heart and a crushed spirit, humble yourself down and fail after God and seek him until you find him. He'll save your soul. How can I say that? Because he saved me. He saved me. Folks, prayer works. God's answered too many of my prayers to say it doesn't work. He's answered too many of them. As I stand before you tonight, He's here helping me because prayer works. I need the help of the Lord. He reminds us in James, the 5th chapter, in the 13th verse, He said, "Is there any among you that's sick? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any of you afflicted first?" But then He said in the 14th verse, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick." You say, people don't get healed anymore. If we'll pray and trust in God, the great physician has the ability to do so. If He sees fit. It's whatever He wants, whatever His will is. He said, the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. What do we need to do? What does mama, what does the church need to do? Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. We need to put every one of our little differences aside. You know, I'm not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes. And we know that we all have issues, but it's time that we put every one of our little issues aside and let's focus on getting sinners saved and born into the family of God. I just wish our people could put our foolish differences aside and work together. Folks, we're all fighting the same war, and we're against Satan. We're not against each other. We're in this battle together. We're all going home to be with the Lord, and we're going to be brothers and sisters in heaven. Let's act like brothers and sisters here and focus on the work of the Lord. How do we do that? We confess to one another, look, I'm not perfect, and we pray one for another. We edify one another. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. That ye may be healed. What our country needs is a prayer one for another, and it starts with God's people. It starts in the church. We want healing. It's got to start in here with our own personal lives. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It works. It was made mention to me. It was reminded to me. Brother Ricky was telling someone about it, about a young man named Carson. A few years ago, he'd been seeking the Lord for a long time, off and on. A lot of times he wouldn't budge. But the church began to pray and began to work and began to labor. And that young man got in trouble. And on a Saturday night, he got under such great conviction, and we all prayed. And I tell you, I had a desire in my heart, and I know that my prayer had gotten through to God, not because of it's me, but because I believed that God was going to answer and He was going to save that boy's soul. I just knew it inside my bones. I said, Lord, I know that You can save him tonight. And I begged and I pleaded and I poured my heart out to God. And I just knew he was going to get saved that night. Well, he didn't get saved that night. I said, well, he didn't get saved. Came back to church the next night, kind of discouraged. Message was preached, a good message. After the service, he got up and said, I got saved at the beginning of the prayer before the service ever got started. I tell you, God does hear, and He does answer prayers, not just because of me, but because mama prayed, because the church prayed, because God's people prayed, because we trusted and believed in what God could do. I tell you, there was a man sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. He couldn't do anything, and that's what these lost sinners are. They're paralyzed in their sin, headed for a devil's hell, and those friends, they picked him up and they carried him to the feet of Jesus. You know how they did it? They ripped the roof off. Sometimes we got to think outside the box, and they ripped the roof off because they couldn't get him there. Folks, we need to get our people, the ones we love, to Jesus in any way possible, and the best way we can get them there is through prayer. Best way. How do we pray? We need to pray for more conviction, for one thing. We don't see people in trouble like we need to be. You know why? Because God's people aren't convicted enough. because we are not burdened enough for these lost sinners. How do we expect them to be concerned about their souls if we're not concerned about their souls? It's a harsh statement, but it's the truth. I tell you, those friends, they didn't care. They were getting their friend to Jesus, and you know what happened when they got him there? I believe that man got saved that day, because Jesus said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And when he says that, that's a good observation that he saved someone. That's what we need to do. We need to pray and trust in what God can hear and answer our prayers. Prayer works. It always works, and it will always work. How do we pray? We got to pray through Jesus. And you know, it's hard sometimes. Church, I believe we've had the start of a revival. We won't continue to have revival. We're going to have to be willing to travail. We're going to have to be willing to have some labor pains. As God was giving here, he was giving to the woman, Eve. Listen what he says here. He says in the 16th verse of the 3rd chapter of Genesis, "And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." You know who the husband of the church is? It's the Lord Jesus. And he's the ruler. He's in charge. And we just want to follow him. And when he says go, we better go. When he says stay, we better stay. But we better let him be in charge. And we better be willing to bear the labor pains. And when we do, births will come forth. Isaiah says that in the book of Isaiah. In the 66th chapter, in the 7th verse, says, "Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things?" I believe the main reason why we haven't seen children born in the family of God the way we want to is because of us. Because of me. Because we have not been willing to bear the labor pains for those children to come forth. Now, if God sees fit to convict someone and save them, God does all of that. But we want more. We got to be willing to do more. You get out of this what you put into it. I can tell you that. The more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. We'll put a little more effort. We'll reap a few more benefits from it. He says, "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." As soon as she travailed, she brought forth her children. I can still remember that night like it was yesterday. Christy was in a lot of pain. She was hurting. But oh, when we finally got those baby girls, all that pain went away. She had a beautiful smile on her face. And those children were laid in our hands. And God had brought us two beautiful miracles. I tell you, when someone's born into the family of God, that's what Clay called it today. Brother Clay called it today. He said, "That was a miracle what happened today." He did. He was sitting down there at the dinner table. He said, "That was a miracle," and that's what it is. When someone's born into the family of God, it's a miracle. And people, that's what we need. We need the miracle worker to start working in our midst. That's what it's going to take to break the hearts of these cold-hearted sinners that seemingly want to turn God off, and they want to just stone face him, and they want to reject God. I tell you, if God can break down Saul, he can break down anyone. He can break them down. We need to pray that he will. And when he's breaking them down, we need to keep on praying. When they come up and pray at a mourner's bench, I tell you, the church needs to gather around them, and they need to pray for them until they pray through. If it means into the wee hours of the morning, we just keep on praying until God does his work. And then after he saves them, we need to keep on praying like Hannah did when she went back to the Lord and said, "I want to magnify the Lord for what he's done for me." We need to keep on praying. And then you know what we need to do? We need to go on to the next one and go on to the next one, because there's always people that need to be saved. I hope your 40-something number gets saved this week, Brother Ricky. I really do. I hope every one of them that's on your list get born again in the family of God. But there'll still be people that'll need to be saved. There will be until the Lord comes back. You know what that means? That means, church, we need to pray. And if we'll pray in faith, believing, God will hear and He'll answer our prayers. God bless you. Let's have a song if we can. If you want to come up and pray at this time, you can. If you're here and you're lost and you need to pray, you come up and pray. Let's all mind the Lord today. Whatever God wants us to do, let's follow His leadership. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for listening to us again tonight.
And page 331 in the Redback Hymnal, 331.